This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you so much to everyone listening today. And a special thanks to those 91.9 in Lexington's 95.3. We love all of you. But today, a special love out to Lexington. Our guest today, with a new job, old friend of the program, Courtney Stewart, senior editor at The Hook. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here. You've got so much going on. Courtney Stewart, Virginia Press Association. Individual recipient, 21 journalism rewards.
Well, yeah, something.
Something like that, yeah. Numerous television show appearances, including Dateline NBC, to discuss your reporting on the murder of Justine Schwartz Abshire.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so blessed to have you with us for the hour.
Thanks for having me on.
Spread a little of that talent over here, please.
I'll do my best.
All right. Again, Courtney Stewart, senior editor at The Hook, which has also received the top honor at the Virginia Press Association. So we're going to talk about some local news, some local stories. And, you know, I guess the one that we'll start with, because it's the one that has been in the news now, sort of the top local story for 2 weeks, is the incident at the Barracks Road, Charlottesville, Harris Teeter, involving Virginia Alcoholic Beverage Control agents and Elizabeth Daly.
Mm-hmm.
So just brief, because I know I actually one of the producers of the show here lives down in Lynchburg, not fully informed on the case itself. So real quick, a little background.
Sure. Well, this was actually an incident that took place back in April, but it went to court in late June, and so that's when these details became public, and it's just a story, I think, that just maybe hit at a time when the sort of idea of police force and this militarization of police was already kind of on top of people's minds. And these three UVA sorority girls go to Harris Teeter after attending a Take Back the Night rally. They're going to buy cookie dough, ice cream, and then one of them picks up a 12-pack of canned bottled water, St. Croix, I think.
Sparkling Watergate.
Sparkling Watergate.
I love that, where I saw somewhere.
So they come out of the store, and they get into the car, and they are suddenly surrounded by a group of, I think, about six people who are shouting, apparently showing badges, but these young women say that they aren't sure that these are actually law enforcement. They are terrified. You can hear in the 911 call this kind of panic ensues in the car. They try to escape. They're calling 911 if they do to try to see if these are legitimate law enforcement agents. They're told to stop. They do. They cooperate. And then the driver is charged with felonies, three felonies for assaulting police officers, relating to this her attempt to escape what she was perceiving as a potential attack.
You mentioned the 911 call. Let's see. I think I have that queued up properly. Let's see if we can listen to that. It's about 2 minutes long. This is the 911 call from the car of the young women who were calling 911 to report that these men that they cannot identify are surrounding their car. Later on, we determine that the men they can identify, you know, that these men are agents, because I think there's one woman involved, but the people rushing their car are the ABC agents. Rusty, we got this. Let's go.
911.
Hi. We have a problem in the Harris Teeter parking lot. We're surrounded by people. And,
somebody fighting?
Oh, my God.
What's going on?
We don't know if they're real police officers or not, and we're freaking out. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. We're in the Harris Teeter.
Does somebody have a gun or something?
We're being taped. Oh my god.
All right, what's your name?
Sorry, I'm Ann Downey.
Who's chasing you?
Pardon?
Who's chasing you?
We were surrounded by like six people, and they started flashing. Well, they were yelling at us, and then we like didn't know if they were real police officers or not because they weren't in uniform. And then they started holding up badges, but we didn't look at the badges because we were freaking out. And so we started driving away. What should we do?
I would stop there, okay, because I think there actually are some ABC officials.
Okay, he said stop here. There are policemen.
Are they holding you over by phone calls right now?
Are you out with them now?
Yes. What should we do?
Can I talk to one of them?
Yeah, can I, sir?
Ma'am.
Hey, this is 911.
This is John Taylor with ABC.
Okay, that's what I thought you might have been. They were really scared. I don't think they knew you were cops.
All right. Well, yeah. Everybody's showing badges and everything, and people standing out in front of them, and they pulled out and tried to run over people, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're ABC.
That's enough. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Frightening to listen to.
It is frightening. I mean, they're clearly absolutely panicked. And particularly the one you can hear one of them really screaming.
Right in the back, you can hear it sort of in the background, somebody who's obviously one of the young girls who's obviously not on the phone, but just screaming, oh, my God, repeatedly.
Right. Yeah. And they're seeing at that point, I think, a gun has been drawn. I don't think it was aimed at the car, but there's been a gun drawn. There's somebody who is, like, on the hood. It's never been completely clear to me whether he, you know, bounced up on the hood when she was trying to pull out. There's been some, you know, conflicting descriptions of that, but they are clearly clearly terrified.
Now, Courtney, again, you have you mentioned earlier that this didn't come out sort of in a public sense until June 28th, I believe. And
right.
You wanted to give props to the Daily Progress.
I do. I think they've been doing an incredible job. Kay Brunell Evans, Katie Evans, has been just really hitting hard on this over and over with great angles and new information. And I think, you know, that's great to see that happening at a local paper, even if it's, you know.
Even if it's not
even
the
if
hook.
It's not the one that I'm running. But, you know, we've been covering it, too. But I do think her coverage has been excellent.
There has... first of all, I think one of the first questions that comes up is, this happened in April. It doesn't get in early April, I think the 11th, and doesn't come out sort of in a public sense until June 28th. Why does it take so long for this to come forward so that the rest of the public knows about it?
Well, I think with any story like this, sometimes these things don't come out until there's a hearing. I mean, there's, you know, if you don't know that it's happened and if nobody contacts the press before it comes to court, before there's a hearing that would be, you know, make it obvious, you know, the news, the media won't necessarily find out about it.
So as the research has been done, have we determined yet whether this was proper protocol by the ABC agents? And by proper protocol, I mean, we'll get into that, I guess, because there's all facets to what I would ask as protocol.
Right. I mean, I think that was the first thing that was questioned, you know, even Dave Chapman, and then I think some of the state legislators have sent letters asking for that to be reviewed. I think the fact that none of them were uniformed was a problem, and they had, pretty soon after this story first broke and became public, there was some change in their policy where they said from now on there will always be a uniformed officer when these things are happening, so that it's clear to whoever's being targeted that it's a legitimate law enforcement operation. I think that there's still going to be a lot of pressure for more review. And you know, it's really raising questions about whether the ABC as an agency is, you know, a valid 21st century agency. Do we need a whole separate thing dedicated to alcohol violations?
And we know that she, the young woman, again, there were three women in the car.
Mm-hmm.
The focus seems to have been on the one, Elizabeth Daly.
Well, she was the one that was arrested and charged with felonies.
Right.
And
spent the night in jail.
Yeah. A mugshot showing tears running down her face. You know, you just look at that and you think, what in the world?
Do you know, and she's been charged with three felonies. We believe at this point that she's been released. You mentioned Dave Chapman. He's the Charlottesville Commonwealth attorney who made the decision after reading all the information not to press charges on these felonies and sort of dropped the case.
Sure, right.
But we also know, or I believe at this point, that her record still holds this. What's the proper phrase? Do you know? I forget what the Latin term of this is, but the arrest hasn't been expunged from her record. It has just been sort of set aside, whatever the Latin phrase is.
Right. So if you were to go to the courthouse and look up her name, you know, online, that those charges that she was charged with felonies remains part of the public record unless and until they are expunged. So even though they weren't pursued, you know, that's there. And certainly the effect of the experience, spending the night in jail, being charged, having to spend a couple of months worrying about this, you know, undoubtedly had some effect.
Again, 11:10 here on WNRN's Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Our guest today, Courtney Stewart. She's a senior editor at The Hook, starting our conversation on local news with the we're talking about a topic when we talk about the ABC agent issue and Elizabeth Daly. This is never one of my favorite phrases. Has gone viral. Can we find something else to say when everyone is talking about it across the city or the country or the world? But this is the topic of conversation, much like last summer, it was Dragas versus Sullivan. Mm-hmm. This is the latest issue that everyone is talking. Over 100 comments on the two or three Hook mm-hmm. articles. It's just what everyone is talking about.
Well, I think it's one of these stories where it seems so many people, maybe even almost unanimously agree that this was perhaps not handled well. It made it to the front page of Reddit, the website. And so when I actually went out to Seattle right after this happened, it was all my brother could talk about out there. He'd heard about it. It was, going crazy and sort of national, international website.
I took a family vacation just a few days after this happened, or after the news reports came out, and a brother-in-law who is a police officer said, "Hey, tell me a little bit more about that thing in Charlottesville." It showed up on a couple different news blogs that, as a police officer, I get, various stories, et cetera, on. So, yeah, it has been a big issue. And if it goes on for 2 weeks, and again, today being Sunday the 14th, the Daily Progress released a news story today about it. We'll get into that a little later in the hour. This is the conversation for now. And again, Courtney Stewart here with me. We go back to protocol.
Mm-hmm.
My career for the last, I've always worked in restaurants or other locations that sold alcohol. And the method that I was always familiar with was an undercover person not of age comes in and tries to buy something, whether it's buying a beer at the bar, going to Bel Air Market and, seeing if you'll sell them a 12-pack. And then there is a uniformed agent, whether it's Albemarle County, Charlottesville, ABC agents, comes in after you have made a mistake, if you've made a mistake, and said, "Sorry, sir, you sold this when you shouldn't have. We're going to write you a ticket, a summons, whatever." But this didn't involve any of that. This was all undercover agents.
No, and I know, I don't know, if a year or two ago, the Kroger in the same shopping center had to shut down their whole alcohol section for a few days. I don't know if you remember that. And that was over exactly that kind of operation where they have these underage undercover agents who go in to do exactly that, to try to buy alcohol. They're 18 and 19. And if the store sells it to them, the store is then punished. So this was not that at all. This was these three girls coming out of the store with what appeared to maybe be a 12-pack of beer, and then they're targeted by a law enforcement agency. And what is the probable cause? I know that's been a topic. Is walking out carrying something that looks like beer while you look young, is that probable cause to do sort of this search and stop? Because if that's the case, that's really sort of a constitutional issue.
Right. I mean, there's been a lot of discussion about the Fourth Amendment.
Yeah.
has there been any news discussion, whether that's internally, where the story is yet to be written, or a paragraph that I missed, about the difference between the responsibility of the store for selling it or the person, in this case, the young women, for potentially illegally buying it? Because we haven't heard any story about the ABC being inside the Harris Teeter, watching what went on so that they mistook the 12-pack for the beer. Was there any communication between the inside of the Harris Teeter where the sale took place and the outside where the, I don't even know what to call it because it seems like a swarm of agents, but where the outside incident took place?
No, in this case, I don't think there was an inside element to this operation, and I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe I haven't seen that, or I don't recall seeing it. I think that they based this, this investigation or this sting that they were doing on what they witnessed, which was what appeared to be what could have been a suitcase of beer. If that's the case, if the possible crime that was being committed was, these girls who possibly were underage because they hadn't even seen their IDs. I mean, how can you tell if somebody's 20 or 21? There's no visible difference. So possibly these girls had a beer or a 12-pack of beer. And this is the response. Six law enforcement agents armed, surrounding the car. Even if that crime, so-called crime, had been committed, the response seems over the top. And it doesn't seem like there was anything that had gone on inside the store.
And if you follow up, whether it's, comments on the Hook webpage, readthehook.com, the ABC Facebook page, which I believe they have now shut down due to the enormous number of negative commentary, I don't want to say that it's 100% against what happened, the methods used by the Virginia Alcoholic Beverage Control agents, but it's certainly 99% of those against that behavior and those actions taken.
Yeah.
I just find it to be, I'd love to hear from somebody else if you want to add your comment. We've got some other aspects to this that we'll talk about with Courtney Stewart, senior editor at The Hook. If you want to call up, it's 434-979-0919.
And support for WNRN Today coming from TNN Printing, serving Virginia since 1982. In addition to printing and copying, TNN specializes in construction document management, as well as dry mounting, binding, and mail services. TNN offers FSC-certified printing, an internationally recognized standard for production and consumption of forest products. TNN Printing can be reached at 434-971-8976 and t-nprinting.com.
WNRN is brought to you by James River Float Company, inviting you to experience the James 7 days a week near downtown Lynchburg. James River Float Company offers tubing, kayaking, and canoeing trips. Whether you're planning a team-building trip, a family float, or a whitewater rafting trip, James River Float Company does the work so you can have the fun. FloatVA.com.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
All right, back in action here with Courtney Stewart, editor at The Hook. We're currently talking about the local news, which seems to have sort of captured everyone's interest, which is the ABC agents' action at the Barracks Road, Charlottesville, Harris Teeter. We were talking about the work that the Daily Progress has done, so let's give them the props as we talk about this latest bit of news on, I guess, the senior agent for the group that did their work in this whole incident?
It appears. I mean, this was something that I just read this morning.
Right, it just came out. I found it on the web page last night, printed this morning.
Yeah, that this came out of a series of FOIA requests that that she sent. We had also submitted FOIAs and
Freedom of Information Act.
This is not something that we reported yet. So this the agent who appears to have been in charge of this operation, a guy named John Taylor, had been in Lynchburg, according to this report, and had actually been transferred after a superior or supervisor witnessed what was described in internal emails, I think, as kind of just bad attitude stuff among the agents in his charge, and some suggestion that he had sort of lost control of the situation down there, and that the culture of it, there was eye rolling and sort of a negative feeling about the way agents were operating, at least during certain training.
Right, lost his leadership respect.
Yeah, and so he was transferred to Stanton. And apparently that was sort of presented as a career, you know, an opportunity for growth, but a need for a change. And so that was less than a year ago. And then he, you know, he surfaces taking the phone in that 911 call we just listened to, saying, you know, that he's there. He's the one that they had been showing badges, and these girls were just...
Right, if only we showed them our badges, you know, they should have just pulled over then.
Right. And so, you know, I think he's somebody clearly who had he's experienced and he's got a history with the agency, but, and I don't know that you can, you know, necessarily draw, conclusions, from that, but it is an interesting detail, and something that I'm sure is going to be looked into further.
Is it even pertinent? You know, when John Taylor, who's supervising the group, I'm assuming, supervising the group of special agents who are at this Harris Teeter operation, is his past, you know, career in the ABC, is that a pertinent part of what happened here? Because we're assuming, and again, that word will continue to follow up because we're talking about what could be a legal or illegal and possibly civil case, is his career at the ABC, is that a pertinent part of this news, or is it just, oh, here's his name somewhere else, and let's report where his name pops up elsewhere?
I personally think, you know, is any information you can get that pertains to sort of the history and the culture at the agency, and this particular person's past, if he's leading this, and was their awareness, you know, were they aware that there were problems? I mean, I think these details, it's not really so much maybe a journalist's place to make a judgment or a judgment call about whether it's meaningful, but it is appropriate and necessary to report as much information like this that you can get. And then, you know, for Ms. Daly, I have no idea if she's planning to take any steps or do anything like that. But certainly from that perspective, were the actions of the agents that night part of a pattern? Was it, you know, should they have known better? Was this something that was condoned? Did the agency know that people were acting outside of standard protocol? Right. I think those are definitely questions that should be asked.
All right, we got a caller. Brandon, you still with me?
Yes, sir.
Question or comment with Courtney
Stewart? A little bit of a comment and perspective. I want to preface everything I say here is I am 110% for civil rights, or civil liberties, the Constitution. And I believe in protecting our rights from ourselves. At the same time, though, I just want to, you know, caution people when they want to react about this situation is to take a perspective of the men and women that walk the street every day wearing a uniform or carrying a badge and a pistol and protecting us is because and I'm not a police officer, but I am a public servant. But from what I see from these guys, in any situation where people say, hey, bad thing just happened in a split second, those men and women only have a split second to react. I've never heard anything bad about the ABC guys. I don't think they were a rogue organization or unit. And yes, bad situation, you know, totally don't necessarily agree with maybe some of the things and how they did it. But if somebody's not responding to the first level of escalation of force being, you need to stop, we're police officers, here's our badge, granted they're in plain clothes, if somebody is going to use their vehicle or appear that they may use their vehicle to get away and might turn that vehicle onto them, you know, then the next level is maybe drawing a weapon and showing them that they're serious at the next level. So I just ask people before they get just hot and bothered and persecute the ABC is, look, ABC is made up of individuals that have to make split-second decisions. I don't think many people of us have to work each and every day making those split-second decisions that carry that much weight. Civil liberties must protect, must abide by the Constitution, but let's just remember that we've got fellow citizens that put on that uniform to protect our rights.
Brandon, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
So you talk about the vehicle being used as a weapon, I believe is the word you used.
Well, I don't think it was their intent to use the weapon.
Well, understood, but with the crime that was supposedly, potentially being taking place, the young women, as far as the ABC agents thought, were illegally purchasing alcohol.
Right.
Do you believe that the agents should have continued to try and stop the vehicle from being used as a getaway car or a weapon, or should have just stepped aside and written down the license plate number and proceeded from there?
We've all watched those cop shows where they end up chasing people for miles and miles and miles through the cities and wrecking cars and stuff. And you're like, all that originated from a turn signal, not using a turn signal, this, that, and the other. And you're like, man, was that really necessary? Neither you or me were there. Was the car angled look like it was coming at him? Because you got to think of a parking lot, she doesn't have a lot of direction to go, left, right, or forward, or backwards. And, if a person felt that car's coming, or a police officer, felt that car's coming right at him, then he's got a split-second decision to make. But I totally agree 100% that, at some point, you got to, is the risk worth the reward, or is the means worth the reward of catching these people in a possible crime? I totally understand.
You can
Monday morning quarterback this one to death, but I guess people remember before they cast judgment so quickly at what those police officers have to face every day.
All right, Brandon. Thanks, man. I appreciate the call. Courtney, that seems to be a minor percentage of the feedback that I've seen is, that the young women overreacted. And I may be incorrectly paraphrasing what Brandon was trying to point out. But talk a little bit about what Brandon said, if you can, that the agents felt endangered themselves and reacted that way.
Well, yeah. I mean, first, to what Brandon said, I completely agree that, we have people who in uniform who are putting their lives at risk and going into dangerous situations and willing to protect us. And, I've had situations where I've had to call police to my neighborhood, and you can believe that I was glad that they were there and able to come and, respond to some report. I think the issue here is, this incident has occurred in a climate where there is a sense that law enforcement has been sort of incrementally, and maybe not even increment, maybe sort of by giant leaps since 9/11, kind of stepping into kind of almost a militaristic approach to law enforcement, where citizens are kind of where we've lost some of the sense of our rights, and so in a situation like this, I feel like it's just important to really look at these things carefully and see what's happening and try to make sure that these things are, shine a light on it so that we don't have them happening repeatedly. And whether those girls overreacted, they're young, they're inexperienced. You can hear their panic.
The voice on the 911, and again, the ABC agents are outside of the car, not inside of the car, and I'm sure that, as Brandon points out, they have their own thought process on what's happening. But for those of us who are listening to it afterwards, you can hear the fear in the voices of those young women.
Right. And presumably those officers can see who's in the car, and they must be able to see the mouths open while screaming in terror. They can see that there's a terror reaction happening in the car, and I think that's been acknowledged that they could see that. That was part of what played into Dave Chapman's decision.
434-979-0919. That's 434-979-0919. If you have your own questions for Courtney Stewart, she's the editor at The Hook, www.readthehook.com, talking about the ABC agents. And Elizabeth Daly, only one of three, but she's the one who's gotten the most, I guess, publicity because she was the one that was arrested and spent the night in jail. Or maybe you have comments like Brandon just did. Again, 434-979-0919. Continue to talk a little bit about this as a local news issue. You mentioned Freedom of Information Act.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how some of these emails came out, these
right.
interactive emails came out. I'm assuming that's how the 911 call, I don't know how that works in terms of getting
yeah.
the news. And then last summer with the emails from Helen Dragas throughout the Board of Visitors, do you imagine that the Freedom of Information Act is going to get tweaked just a little bit so the people who are in charge and the government and the bigwigs don't always get burned on this?
Well, I hope it gets changed a little bit in the other direction so that we could get, you know, more information. That's probably unlikely. Briefly, for maybe some people don't know exactly what Freedom of Information Act is. It's just a right, you know, to not just for media, but anybody in the public can request public documents. That means emails coming from government agencies, and there are exceptions. So you can't just say, I want your investigative file and expect to get it. There are reasons that they can decline to release information, but internal communications, financial documents, you know, just a variety of things are available, and that is how the emails from UVA came out last summer, and that's how this has happened. I would like, you know, we've been frustrated on numerous occasions trying to get information from different law enforcement agencies because they can say it's an ongoing investigation. And they can say that indefinitely. It can be 50 years later in some cases, and they can claim the investigation is still ongoing. So there is a lot of latitude to cite these exceptions, and then you'd have to really fight it, you know, if you wanted to get through.
All right, we got another call from Anonymous. Hi, caller.
Hello, thank you for doing the show.
Question or comment?
And also I want to compliment Courtney Stewart on her work over the years. I love her articles.
Thanks.
Yeah, I really only have one thing to say. It's kind of in response to the guy who was obviously a cop that called a few minutes ago. Number one, public servants are paid by us, so let's not forget that. And the fact that these girls were even stopped in the first place is—it's psychotic. It's psychotic. It's obviously was a training op for martial law, which is, you know, I know people think that sounds paranoid, but that's what's coming. And I think they were simply doing a training op on these girls. I mean, they didn't identify themselves. This is a no-brainer. The girls were carrying water. You know, this is what we're becoming. I mean, it's absolutely insane. That's really all I had to say is that I just believe it was a training op.
All right.
They're doing these training ops all over the country.
Thanks for the call, Courtney. Do we know whether or not it was a training op? We do. Well, actually, at this point, you know, I mentioned earlier about the my knowledge of how this used to work in the old days was that the ABC agents would find someone who was underage to work with them to see if the underage person could get served or sold.
I think that still goes on.
But these agents, we have determined, were all paid regular 40-hour-a-week employees, correct?
Yeah, and I do think some of them, gosh, I feel like it's been reported, and it's escaping my mind at the moment, but I do think some of them were relatively new agents.
So do you think, or has news led us to believe that it was a training operation?
I can't remember if it's been exactly described that way. I think when you have six people performing a stop of sorority girls with water, it seems like there's got to be a training element to it, because why would you ever need that many people for something like that?
All right, 11:34 here on the wake-up call. Courtney Stewart with us. She's the editor at The Hook. If you have a question or a comment, like sounded like a woman, Ms. Anonymous, 434-979-0919.
Support for WNRN today comes from Italian Villa, Charlottesville's old-school diner at Emmett and Ivy. Before the game or after church, the Villa serves a full American breakfast all day. You can find burgers and specialty sandwiches for lunch, plus weekday lunch specials and an Italian dinner menu every night. That's Italian Villa, 129 Emmett Street North.
Support for WNRN comes from Boudoir Lingerie Boutique in the Boonesboro Shopping Center, Lynchburg. At Boudoir, you can find Bridal by Jane Woolrich, Intimate Apparel by Blush, and Oulala Cherie, plus maternity, lingerie, and loungewear. Boudoir is your dressing room and carries sizes AA to H at 4925 Boonesboro Road, Lynchburg, and VotreBoudoir.com, VotreBoudoir.com.
Hi, I'm Donna Plaskett from Piedmont Council for the Arts. We invite you to learn about contemporary art at a film screening sponsored by Piedmont Council for the Arts on Thursday, July 18th from noon to 1:30 p.m. Part of Art 21's award-winning documentary series, this monthly brown bag lunch screening offers a one-hour documentary about contemporary art. The next screening is called Ecology and will take place at City Space, located at 100 5th Street Northeast on the downtown mall in Charlottesville. This film delves into the work of four artists who explore the relationship of nature and culture. This event is free and open to the public. To learn more, visit charlottesvillearts.org. I'm Donna Plaskett, making the community connection on WNRN.
Make your community connection with WNRN. Email connection at WNRN.org with your nonprofit event or organization's information. Independent Music Radio, WNRN.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you for listening to Charlottesville's Independent Radio. That's WNRN. This is the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call. Our guest, Courtney Stewart, editor at The Hook, talking about local news, focusing, at least in the first 37 minutes, on the ABC agents and Elizabeth Daly. Let me take a moment and let you know, next Sunday, Dr. Mike Feetz from Georgetown Veterinary Hospital will be here. Questions, answers, conversations about our pets. Not quite as strenuous as today's topic. Let's take a call from John. Hey, John.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Very quickly, I am a 30-year military veteran. With knowing about guns and everything else, there was absolutely no call, no reason for these agents to come with guns drawn. If, in fact, there were, if there were beer, could they just not say, excuse me, ma'am, I'd like to look at your purchase, and then make a decision from that point. Not going to approach 3 or 4 90-pound girls with beer. Let's just say, even if it was beer. What they did was almost a crime itself. They just need, somebody needs to put these guys under control. That's all. Thank you so very much.
All right. Thanks, John. Now, John, a good response, or, I don't know, a valid response from certainly a large percentage of the community, a little overstated in the fact that guns, they didn't all come guns drawn. I believe that once the car was started and could be potentially used as a weapon, a word that I think Brandon used earlier in the conversation today, one officer, I believe the one by the driver's window, unholstered his gun, but didn't point it at anyone.
Yeah, and
correct?
I don't know if it was by the driver's window or by the passenger side window. But yeah, there was no gun, as far as I've heard, there was no gun aimed at the occupants of the car. But having a gun drawn and in sort of a ready position,
right,
was clearly.
But I think John makes a statement that many people would make, which is that overreaction on the part of the ABC agents. You used the word militia a little earlier in the conversation.
Yeah.
John talks about guns being drawn into the situation and that how that was sort of maybe overeager to what was needed. And that's a conversation that has come up with a variety of topics here in the Central Virginia area in the year 2013. We've had a couple different shootings by Charlottesville police officers, Albemarle County police officers. And I guess who did the rugby road thing? Virginia State Police?
Well, State Police, Homeland Security, I think FBI was part of that. And that really, that was just frankly sort of a surreal and shocking sight, witnessing the level of force that was brought out. And
did you get to see that?
I did. I went down and saw, I mean, there was an armored vehicle. There were these camo-clad men, one, you know, several of them with their faces covered with black, wearing reflective glasses and carrying, I think, AR-15. Somebody's going to call in and, you know, yell at me for saying the wrong kind of gun. But very large, intimidating-looking weapons. And to see them standing guard in front of this house and just patrolling in this what I would describe as almost a tank, it's just an incredible show of force for what I think, you know, was more than just a small fake ID ring. It sounds like
but
it was fairly
also,
significant.
But they also, my understanding from reading the Hook story, is that there were, I don't know what qualifies as large number of guns. To me, it's more than one per person. I think there were three people who lived at this home, and they found more than a dozen weapons inside.
They did. They found weapons. I think there was a, you know, there was some sort of dog who was there. Presumably they didn't know if there were more people involved or something, but they had two of them, I think, in custody. One of them, remember that the guy went on the run and was,
sort of the
was picked up at Barracks
guy.
Road. Right. So again, Barracks Road, the site of the police
right.
operation. But there were questions that came up at that time was this level of force necessary? And that's a question. It's not necessarily, I don't necessarily have an answer to that question, but it seems shocking. You know, really, to witness these things happening, we just didn't used to see that level of force brought out for the types of crimes that are being described here, which really now both of these things relate to underage drinking, although with the fake IDs, they could claim that they were going to give them to terrorists or whatever. But these are underage drinking crimes, basically.
434-979-0919. I see the phone ringing now, so I'm only going to get part of this question answer out. But what has been the response from some of our state and local politicians? The governor, a top cop, Ken Cuccinelli, our local area, David Toscano, Rob Bell, et cetera?
Well, I think at this point there's not so much with the Rugby Road operation. I mean, that took place, and apparently there was very little warning to local police in that situation. I think going back to the ABC bust at Harris Teeter, I think there's been a pretty unanimous cry for more information and a sort of condemnation of the tactics used or the apparent tactics that were used, but really a demand from most levels that this be looked into.
All right, another caller. Again, Courtney Stewart with us as we talk about some local news. Seem to be focusing a lot on guns and undercover drinking. Caller, how are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm well. Question or comment for Courtney Stewart?
Yeah, well, I've got a comment. I think the reason why this is so interesting to most people is that I think this is an example of a growing trend of increased police force. There was this is everything from we had the ID bust on Rugby Road where they had a SWAT team come out and shut down the road and everything. And then you've got, everything up to this, the scandal with the NSA reading everybody's emails and getting all the phone records and everything. And it's just another example. And I know this is happening because, they're trying to put, things in place to help protect us from terrorist acts and that sort of thing. I work for a software company, and we write software for 911 systems, and it's amazing the amount of money that gets spent in these 911 places, these facilities. I mean, they have the computer equipment that they have, and just everything from the desks that have automated buttons that, they can move raise the table up and down, and they have, each station has three or four computer systems, and they've got software that sometimes these people don't even know how to use. They got functionality, and they just got money to spend, and they just They've got cameras in every corner of every parking lot. And these are not necessarily, you know, some of these are counties that are kind of rural. They aren't, it's not like D.C. or some major city. And it's just unbelievable to me the amount of money that gets spent. And it's just, you know, I understand why it's happening. It's a trend. Everybody's afraid of terrorists and people want to be protected. But you know, all that money gives people a lot of power. And I think with the power comes, you know, a lot of responsibility. And, you know, tying back to this case, it's, you know, it's the responsibility of these agents to act in a way that doesn't escalate the situation. And I think everybody's perceiving that, you know, the way that they kind of behaved in the situation, that's what happened. And I guess that's my comment.
Thanks very much. I appreciate you calling up for that. 434-979-0919. Our guest, Courtney Stewart, she's editor at The Hook. You can read a lot of these stories. Go to www.readthehook.com. It's also usually, sometimes it gets a little carried away, entertaining and informative to read the comments under each article at Read the Hook.
Yeah, we have a lively comment section. And I like to think, you know, most of the time we've got good informed readers and citizens weighing in. And, you know, we do get some people that
once you open it up to the public, you're always going to get the people who, what's the proper word? People who are just trying to get the comments going.
You can have some trolls, right?
Trolls,
I mean, people that are just saying things for the sake of.
They don't even believe it. They're just trying to get everybody else pissed
off.
So, Courtney, transparency. We sort of touched on that. But this particular issue, again, back to the ABC agents in the Harris Theater parking lot, you sort of touched on it with the, for lack of a better word, the militia arriving at Rugby Road for that case. They didn't alert any of the locals what was going on. The ABC agents are now going to get this specific case looked into by the Virginia State Police, who will be reviewing it. Is transparency becoming an issue? You mentioned militia sort of increasing in terms of power and force. The last caller touched on that as well. Do you believe that that's a problem?
Well, I do. I mean, I think that it's, I think maybe that's two separate issues. I mean, there's the militarization of police and there's that. Then transparency, I guess, probably goes hand in hand with that. And that, for instance, is something that we've been asking about with several police shootings in Albemarle County, where I don't necessarily know that that's militarization, but they're refusing to identify officers who have been involved in at least one shooting, the one out in Crozet recently.
I'm sure it came from one of the Hook articles, but I pulled this note aside and put it in boldface. Albemarle County Police Department has developed a practice of protecting the identities of shooters, and they say they're backed up by the Freedom of Information Act.
Right.
And when they say shooters, they're talking about police officers and other agents.
Right. And they can say that it's, you know, it's part, they can withhold it based on it being part of an investigation. There's both a external investigation, then there's their internal investigation. And in the case of Gregory Allen Rawson, who was the 21-year-old who was shot and killed, they've acknowledged it happened. You know, the police were involved in that shooting and that an officer shot, but they won't reveal the officer's identity. And so that, you know, that to me is troubling. I understand they need to conduct an investigation, but it's contrasted with the incident in the city that happened earlier this year at the Elks Lodge. And in that case, the Charlottesville City Police released as many details as they could.
But their feedback, caller, hang on for just a second. The city, when I say they, the city claimed that the reason they released the information was because there was an independent witness, as
right.
opposed to what happened to the city at Birdwood Court and what happened.
Well, in the city at Birdwood Court, it was Albemarle officers who had pursued, and then the city was doing the investigation into it. And so I think at that point they felt like, you know, there was some issue that was sort of kind of separate.
All right, we'll come back to this while we take our call from Tommy. Hey, Tommy.
Good morning, Rick.
Question, comment?
Just a comment, and this may sound, you know, way out there, but First, on the ABC issue, obviously it seems to us it was a whole lot aggressive. And then I think this ties in to the ID, making up the fake IDs, that so many people forget that the majority of our students at UVA, let's say that 80% of the students are under the age of 21. And with that said, this is why I think this kind of ties together, that unfortunately we have seen in the news that we've had UVA students under the age of 21 consume alcohol to the point that they killed themselves. We've also seen, unfortunately, in the news locally, UVA students get intoxicated and then jump from a building, injuring and or killing themselves. So with that said, I can understand a parent that may have a college student that's under the age of 21 who's out of the home, you know, around, I don't know if it's peer pressure or what it would possibly be, but to be influenced to get a fake ID and then to go to any of the local stores with a fake ID and purchase alcohol. So I can only imagine from a family that's experienced the death of a child that's under the age of 21 that it would have to wonder, first, how in the world did my child get a fake ID, and then to be served the alcohol, whether it be going to any of the local stores or a bar, to get the alcohol and then either drink themselves to death or end up in some sort of tragic situation. So I kind of understand where the concern of a parent may be calling some of these officials, and let's say that maybe they've dealt with local law and have no, you know, found no solution. So maybe we've got somebody that has some authority or some, let's call it pull with the system that may have called ABC directly and said, look, this needs to be dealt with so that it doesn't happen to another young person. And I don't know that that really may factor in, but I think that's an interesting angle that people should look at, that I think these two are tied together.
Hey, Tommy.
You know, that we have that ID issue and then the alcohol issue targeting what may be the underage people in this.
All right, Tommy, here's what I want you to do. You are stepping a little bit off topic, but it's a great show. So send me an email, rmoore@wnrn.org, and let's put together a show on whether or not the drinking age needs to decrease, increase, how to help solve or, you know, work on problems that come with alcohol.
Sure, that's what I'm thinking. If these two may actually be related or tied together with
and
the
then ABC. And then help me do that, and we'll spend 60 minutes on that topic because we only have a few minutes left here with Courtney Stewart. All right, thanks. All right, so Courtney Stewart, she's the editor at The Hook as we talk about some local stories related to alcohol and guns. It all seems to come back to guns. Do you think that we're going to get changes, because this conversation came up about 2 years ago about how the possibility of putting the ABC and liquor sales into the hands of the public, no longer being a state-controlled business, but making it a, you know, public retail.
Yes. Yeah, privatizing the ABC, and then I guess putting enforcement of the laws about alcohol, which wouldn't disappear, into sort of the hands of already existing.
Is this issue going to lead us closer to that happening?
Well, I think it's certainly getting the conversation going, and I think it's not a new conversation. I think McDonald had talked about that early on in his term, and I think the question, and it's something I'm interested in looking into, is just, you know, what does the ABC as an agency, does it need to exist as it is now? I mean, it's sort of a prohibition era organization, and is it redundant? I mean, would it be too much burden on our local police departments to enforce alcohol laws? Does it really need to be a separate agency?
But the conversation that I've only seen recently has come among the comments in the Hook newspaper, not amongst the politicians. Am I correct or incorrect in that?
Well, I think I haven't heard that recently being sort of the top of mind for politicians. I think this incident is pushing it closer to the top of mind.
So once we get to December and our representatives, et cetera, are talking about what they're going to bring up, in the next year's legislative session, we may get back to that.
I mean, yeah, we may. I don't know. It's hard to say. There's a lot of other issues that get people riled up these days.
All right, let's talk to Paul. Paul, question, comment with Courtney Stewart?
Basically, I just have a comment. All this talk about the alcohol problem within the community and at the university, and I think it's really a nationwide problem. People don't want to address alcohol as a drug, and that's what it is. And we're basically giving license to people to sell this poison to our kids, to adults, and people just can't handle it. And they're really uneducated about the way alcohol really works on the body. And as far as the show of force of police officers have a tough job. And anybody who says that they don't really hasn't looked at it in a serious light. I mean, basically, you put on the uniform and you have a target on your back. So with coupled with that with alcohol, and you really don't know what people are going to do when you show up to try to arrest them or talk to them about what's going on and trying to solve the problem.
All right, Paul, thanks for the comment. Don't forget rmoore@wnrn.org. Help me put together a show on this topic.
And support for WNRN today comes from the Markets of Tiger Fuel Company, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street.
Support for independent music radio, WNRN, comes from locally owned Mountain Kim's Martial Arts Academy in Pantop Shopping Center across from Food Lion, Route 250 East at the foot of Pantop's Mountain. Mountain Kim's offers traditional martial arts training, valuable life skills, and an enjoyable fitness activity. Online at SevilleShop.com/Pantops.
Rick Moore back with Courtney Stewart here on WNRN. Don't forget a new show here on Saturday night, 6 p.m. It's Country Feedback, hosted by Sons of Bill lead singer James Wilson. James picks his favorite songs from the alternative country world and beyond. Country Feedback, Saturday nights at 6, made possible with support from James River Association on Independent Music Radio, WNRN. All right, just a few minutes left with our guest, Courtney Stewart. Have we heard anything from UVA? I realize it's summertime, but there's certainly a lot of administrative folks still there. Have they had any comment about this?
I don't recall anything that I've seen or anything significant. I don't know whether they've declined comment. I know Lisa has been working on Lisa Province, our news editor at The Hook, has been working on that. I don't know whether they have made any specific statements about it. And I don't. Are you talking about just the Harris Teeter incident in general, or?
Well, yes, I believe that I was talking. I mean, every time something happens in terms of underage drinking. One of the previous callers mentioned drinking yourselves to death. And I can think of one instance where that happened. I don't know if it was this school year or the previous school year where a student over-intoxicated and actually died from too much alcohol.
Well, right, and
system.
Death is the
there's
extreme.
Always a comment.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of kids who are treated.
Anytime someone gets arrested, there's a comment. But in this case, where someone was arrested and there was actually no alcohol involved, I haven't heard any comment, haven't seen any printed. Doesn't mean it didn't happen, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have expected something, but I guess maybe because it's a government agency and not a local bar. Granted, bars don't exist in Virginia. A local restaurant?
Yeah. Well, and it's also, it's students being targeted by law enforcement and in this case, not doing anything wrong to precipitate the event, I guess. I don't know what the school, you know, what comment the school would have.
Again, go to www.readthehook.com. There are a fair number of people who are sort of looking for a little more information than they've seen or gotten throughout the regular media. And there's a wonderful letter from someone that was printed, and we don't have enough time now to go into deep detail on it. It's 11:59, time for us to wrap up. But if you go there, do you remember what the headline on this is for somebody can find it? Because I didn't print that there.
The headline, I don't remember what the headline is, but if they go and look at, if you click on if you do a search, you could look under Albemarle, Albuquerque.
Right, it's a great letter from someone who either I think he was an officer in Albuquerque, mm-hmm. who sort of puts everyone's questions together as to why would you do this, mm-hmm. in one wonderful letter.
Right,
and it was really helpful for me to read that and sort of gather all my thoughts in one, and then go looking for the answers. And I think that's part of what the Hook is trying to do, and the Daily Progress. Again,
yeah.
Props to them for sort of starting this.
Yeah, they did. They broke it, and then they've continued to do really good investigative work, and we're on it as well. And I think this is one of those situations where just keep, you know, asking questions and staying on it is what the journalist's role should be.
Courtney, thanks so much.
Thank you, Rick.
Will you come on in the future to talk more local news?
I sure will.
All right. Everyone have a great Sunday. Les Temps-Perdue, up next.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Angie Cruz. Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.